And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there. So we're going to go back in time to 2010, to our Thanksgiving program from that time period. We're going to have Gary Lilly's going to be on, Bob Gould is on. We've got a lot of people that had called in during that program. So I want to kind of encourage people to listen to the whole thing, because it's a really fun program to listen to. I think you'll enjoy it. Don't call us. It's a pre-recorded program, of course, so we'll go from there. I do want to make sure that we thank our sponsors. Without them, we can't do this program at all. So make sure that we thank Legal Help for Veterans. They specialize in veterans' disability claims. Give them a call at Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NBBDC, the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, you can go to their website, that's nvbdc.org, or give them a call at 888-237-8433. The Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For more information on them, you can go to va.gov/Ann Arbor Healthcare. We also want to thank our local veterans organizations for their longtime support. The Erwin Prescorn American Legion Post 46 and the Charles S. Kettles Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 310, both of Ann Arbor, Michigan. You can learn more about these organizations and their services, as well as how you can become a sponsor of Veterans Radio by going to our website. That's veteransradio.net/our sponsors. So let's get into today's program. As I mentioned before, we're going back in time to 2010. So we're going to kind of jump around a little bit as far as the editing is concerned. And as I mentioned before, this is a pre-recorded program. Do not call the number that we talk about on the program. So here we go. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with, hey, what were you doing on Thanksgiving when you were in the service?
All across America and around the world, you're listening to America's number one radio program for veterans, Veterans Radio. And now, live from the studios of WDEO in Ann Arbor, Michigan, here's your host for today's program, former Chief Warrant Officer, helicopter pilot with the 195th Assault Helicopter Company, Republic of Vietnam, 1969, Dale Thronberry.
Crowds cheer. Good morning, America, and how are you? My name is Dale Thronberry, and welcome to Veterans Radio, America's number one veterans program, coming to you live from the studios of WDEO Radio in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we want to welcome you to this Thanksgiving program. 2 days after Thanksgiving, most of us are finally recovered from Thanksgiving, and I want to make sure that we want to say hi to Matt Durr, who's running our board today. Morning, Matt.
Good morning.
And also, we have a guest webcam operator in there, and that's my nephew, Eric Ost. Eric, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good to be here.
This is kind of cool. We're waiting to get in a family oriented. I want to introduce everybody to my nephew, Eric. We were talking earlier this morning about the military history that he's got going on. He has relatives that were fought in a 14-year war between Sweden and Norway about 300 years ago. He had an uncle in World War II. His mom works at the VA hospital in Orange, New Jersey. His dad was a cop for 25 years. So he's got a good background going there, and I'm very pleased that Eric is able to help us out today during the program. Joining me in the studio is the old CB himself, Gary Lilly.
Hey, CB can do, and happy Thanksgiving to all.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, we've been having a lot of, we were trying to figure out what we could make out of stuffing yesterday, and Eric brought up the idea that probably a nice stuffing sandwich would be good.
I have one. I brought home from Chicago.
We forgot the turkey. We had more stuffing and so on. So it's a great opportunity to get together with family and friends, of course, and that's the whole purpose of Thanksgiving. And we're going to talk a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving and what it means to America, because it's kind of a unique feast. if you want to call it that, that we celebrate and we have been celebrating off and on for close to 400 years. And we're going to start off with the first one in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And we'll give you a little background on that later on. And but before we get to that, we had a guest on last week that was from Sears, who was talking to us about what the Sears company is doing in Chicago to help veterans. And I've got Tom on the line right now. So, Tom, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you very much for having me back on the show.
Hey, Tom, this is Gary Lilly. Welcome to Veterans Radio. What? Tell us what Sears is doing right now. You gave us an update. We want to keep giving this update so that people will contribute because the money is used so well.
Yeah, well, you know, just last week we've already given out the first disbursement. So we try to, as soon as we can get a substantial amount, we'll go ahead and start to distribute that out to the military families. So we gave the first $50 out.
Hey, Tom, describe what the program is first for those that may have missed it last week, okay?
Yeah. The Heroes at Home Wish Registry attempts to help military families during the tough holiday season when sometimes deployments can make those distances a little more challenging and military families may be struggling financially over the holiday period. Given all that they sacrifice, Sears tries to go out and provide gift cards to active duty and reserve and guard military families to help them say thank you and in some small way help them have a better holiday season.
How many families signed up for it?
In less than a 24-hour period, we had 23,000 families sign up, and we had to, at that point, close off the registration because we wanted to make sure that we could deliver something substantial to those families.
That's neat. What do they use the money for?
You know, you would think it'd be a lot of extravagance, but it's not the case. They're out buying essentials for the family. A lot of times it goes towards children's apparel, household items, sometimes food. Sometimes they have a repair that needs to be done on a car at an auto center or maybe an appliance that they've been putting off replacing.
So this is pretty basic stuff.
Yeah, it is. It is. And like I mentioned last week, in some cases, we generally get about 6 or 7 families that will come and tell us that they're very appreciative, but they know of a military family that's less fortunate than them, and they'll actually give the gift cards to the less fortunate family.
That is amazing. It means so much to the troop overseas to have this pressure taken off of them, worrying about the family back home and the appliance repair, or will their child get something nice for Christmas, you know, like new clothes. And that's just a wonderful program. How do people donate to it, Tom?
You know, the simplest way is walking into any Sears store and at any cash register, they can go up and make a donation. It's a real simple process. They have little barcodes they'll scan, and you can make a donation there. Or you can donate from your home by going to sears.com/heroes at home.
That's very good. And I want to keep featuring Sears because I admire the company so much for all that it does for the servicemen and women who are not employees of Sears and what you do for your employees while they're at Iraq, Afghanistan, or wherever, is really remarkable. You go way over and above what is asked, and that is you keep the pay right where it should be. You make up the difference between what the military pays and what Sears pays so that there's not that financial hardship on the deployed family.
Yeah, if they're a Sears employee and they're taking the time to go protect our freedoms by getting deployed and activated and going overseas, you know, we want them to come back safe to us and their families. And to do so, they need to be focused on their job.
Absolutely.
At hand. And they don't need to be worried about their families or making enough money to support their families. So we try to do all we can. And I do have a special announcement this week. If it's okay, I could share that with you.
Please do.
Well, talking about everything we're doing for military families this week, We're actually going to announce later in the week that our Kenmore team, everyone knows the famous Kenmore appliances at Sears, is actually going to have a bake-off, and is actually going to bake 250,000 cookies to send overseas this holiday season, so that all those troops overseas will have some nice little holiday treats as well.
Sears keeps getting better and better. And that's why I want to have you on every week. I want people to know what Sears is doing so that they can support our troops through Sears by making these donations, and also to acknowledge Sears and say thank you for all that you do for the troops. And
thank you, Tom, for being on Veterans Radio. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Same to you, Tom. Thank you so very much. That's an amazing program that Sears has got going there. So I'm encouraging everybody to get out to their local Sears. After all, it's not Black Friday now. It's whatever they call Saturday. Get out there and buy. I'm sure that they've got some great deals going on. And while you're buying for yourself, throw a little money in the can there for the troops that need some help. For Heroes at Home.
I think that's what it's called.
That could use some assistance. I think it's a great opportunity for us to help out. I was going to talk about, just briefly before we get into our Welcome Home segment, what we want to do today is we're going to talk about Thanksgiving and what Thanksgiving means to you out there in our listening audience, and what Thanksgiving meant to you when you were in the service. What happened on Thanksgiving? Now, a lot of times we realize that it is really just another day in the life of a soldier, Marine, sailor, airman, so on. I don't want to leave anybody out.
Coast Guard person.
We don't want to leave anybody out, but now, we're going to talk about how the military really goes out of their way to make sure that everybody does have a very hot and complete Thanksgiving dinner, if at all possible. But before we get to that, we're going to do our weekly segment on Welcome Home, and Gary's got our Welcome Home people right now.
Thank you, Dale. Each week on Veterans Radio, we welcome home servicemen and women who have been stationed around the world in the service of our country. We want to hear about your troops coming home. Go to veteransradio.net and send us an email. Dateline, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Upon his unit's arrival from Afghanistan, Seth Reynolds asked his girlfriend, Kristen Taylor, to be his wife right there in the terminal. There was a bit of an angle to it as he got 8 of his friends to put the message on their T-shirts. They all lined up, and after the welcome home kiss, his friends all in a line opened their shirts to expose the message to what is her name? Kristen. Seth was asking her to marry him. He dropped to one knee, held out the ring, and proposed. By the way, she said yes.
Good thing.
Yeah. It was on TV. Hunter Army Airfield, Fort Stewart, Georgia. Nearly 240 Rangers with the 3rd Infantry Division's Combat Aviation Brigade returned home to their loved ones from Afghanistan just in time for the Thanksgiving holiday. Dateline Huntsville, Alabama. Some 40 soldiers from the Alabama National Guard's 441st Ordnance Battalion returned from Iraq and were greeted by friends, family, and Patriot Guard members at the Green Cove Armory. Dateline Port Hueneme, California. Now, this is easy for me.
I hope.
Seabees of MCB-4, that's Mobile Construction Battalion 4, returned from Afghanistan, where they conducted one of the largest earth-moving efforts since World War II, building a 300-acre base near Mazar-e-Sharif. Smaller details were deployed to 10 operating bases and combat outposts throughout Afghanistan. Now, if that job was larger than anything since World War II, it was huge, as the Seabees built the base at Subic Bay, Philippines, which involved cutting down a mountain and stretching it out into the ocean, building a 10,000-foot runway and docking for Navy ships. It was a bigger earth-moving job than the Panama Canal, and they got it done in 5 years. Well done, MCB-4. Dateline Delaware, members of the 238th Aviation Regiment of the Delaware Army National Guard came home this week. Thankfully, a short title to a unit. The troops transported more than 100,000 pounds of equipment and 13,000 passengers, including President Karzai, General Petraeus, and Secretary of State Clinton, and supported a rescue mission after an avalanche struck in the Afghan mountains. Vehicles were trapped, covered, and overturned. People were stranded at altitudes greater than 9,000 feet in sub-zero temperatures. Their support saved more than 300 Afghan citizens' lives. They also conducted reconnaissance missions to protect troops on the ground and in the skies. Well done, 238th Aviation Regiment.
I want to go home.
I want to go home. That's one of the one things for sure that we all wanted to do when Thanksgiving rolled around and we suddenly came to the realization that we weren't at home. And I picked that particular song today to talk with our other partner on Veterans Radio, Bob Gould, and Bob is on the line. Bob, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Oh, thank you, Dale. Hello there, Gary. Hello there, Manny.
Good morning,
Bob. We're on a mission right now, so I couldn't be in the studio, but I just had a chance. I love that. I love that bump. I want to go home, boy. And you know what? They call that a segue in this business because the story I'm about to say exactly is that. Way back, my first half of my total service was with the Big Red One. And it was kind of uneventful with Thanksgiving. I mean, you know, Thanksgiving was Thanksgiving, so I thought it was pretty cool being in the service. And then I went in the 101st Airborne. Now, the 101st Airborne, Strike One, way back then, we were Strike One. What happens? The missile crisis. I just got there. And here comes the missile crisis. All of a sudden, we're having, what, nuclear? Gary, you were going to say something about that. What? You know that there were nuclear warheads or something?
Well, we just found out a couple of years ago that basically Kennedy and Khrushchev, especially Khrushchev, lost control of what was going on. And we were much closer to nuclear war than anybody ever imagined. And at that time, we thought we were pretty close to nuclear war.
So I'm going to jump in and just remind people, this is 1962,
right?
And the Soviet Union had placed nuclear weapons in Cuba, only 90 miles away from Florida. So that's the setup here, Bob. Go ahead.
Well, things got kind of cooled down. It was about a week. I think they had already boarded the ship or about to board the ship, and the missiles turned around. However, let's show some strength. Now, the reason I'm saying this, folks, is because, yeah, we served during peacetime, but we also served during tough times and kept the peace, because the first unit to be set as a show of force was, of course, 101st Airborne. So I think it was like day five of the Cuban Missile Crisis. We're on our way. We're headed. And I remember looking out the window and seeing palm trees. I wasn't sure if we were at Guantanamo or where we landed. I think it was Homestead. And immediately set up a perimeter. The CVs came in and put in the officer's club first, of course, right? You know, isn't that right, Gary?
Yeah, they probably said, hey, you guys, do us first. We got a couple of 5-gallon cans of medical alcohol.
Sure.
That's how they bribed us.
Well, the officers' club got set up. Now, remember, this is a missile crisis. We were going to be the tip of the spear going into Cuba. We were fully equipped. We flew down, and I think they were C-130s. We flew down in C-130s, and there we were. So we were there for 6 weeks. Now, most of the units were being sent back, the 101st, most of companies, etc., were being sent back, except us. We were the last to go. So we're thinking it's like the day before Thanksgiving. Hey, this will be nice. I want to go home. We're going to be home. Wait a minute. Somebody had an idea back at Fort Campbell. Why, heck, let's have the boys, let's turn this into an exercise. So we jumped. The following day, Thanksgiving Day, we parachuted, true story, into Fort Campbell. I actually met a guy that was part of the National Guard pilots that flew us. Anyway, we jumped in and landed at one of the drop zones way, 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 way from the 25, 30 miles. We could see the base up on a hill. We could see the base. But there we were, and we were told, and you follow orders, right? We were told to stand fast. Don't go anywhere. Now, we could have made this march. Remember, it's Thursday afternoon. We're getting in our gear. We're waiting for the trucks. The trucks never came. Now, again, the reason I'm telling this story is that it was a long night, and it was Kentucky, and it was cool, and we had nothing to eat, but we talked a lot and reminisced about our families. I think it was the only Thanksgiving I've ever missed in my entire life that I can remember. So there we were, looking out, and of course we waited for the trucks, right? That's what you're supposed to do. Stand fast. And they didn't come, something like 3 o'clock in the morning, 2, 3 o'clock, and of course we were too tired. So that's my little story. Yeah, there are a lot of guys from Detroit there. We talked about Detroit. We had some black guys that were singing some Motown stuff. It got to be pretty good. You know, I guess a couple of guys had, like, sea rations or candy bars, so we kind of split that up. But it was a Thanksgiving to be remembered because, well, we just survived.
Hey, Bob. Gary. You heard about the guy making his first jump with 101st, and they told him, now, when you jump, your parachute's going to open by the static line. Don't worry about it. But in case it doesn't open, then you've got your reserve chute. Pull that reserve chute, and that'll open. And you'll go to the ground, and the trucks will be waiting. So the guy jumped, and the main chute didn't open, tore away from the static line. And he pulled the reserve chute, and that didn't open. And he said to himself, I bet those darn trucks aren't going to be there either.
Gary, you waited all day and night to tell that story because you know I was going to be on Good Going.
That's right.
That's great. But to all my brothers and sisters out there at 101st Airborne, they are in Afghanistan, Iraq, they're in that area, and the Big Red One, give me a big salute. God bless you, and keep it up, man. Keep it up. Really keep it up. And everybody take care on Veterans Radio. I'll be listening over in the car radio. How's that?
All right. Thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
He is always so full.
You were waiting for that all day. We knew that. You always have to have something about Airborne that you want to talk about. You know, it's kind of interesting what Bob was talking about. The idea behind Thanksgiving was to celebrate harvest and so forth. But I wanted to just mention one thing before we have our next guest on from the phone, is that on January 6, 1941, Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave his inaugural address for, I don't know, his third or fourth term, whatever it happened to be at the time. But it was talking about his four freedoms. And I thought this is really important because this is why our men and women are overseas today, which is why World War II, Korea, the whole bit. And that was that people everywhere in the world ought to enjoy these four freedoms. And the first one is freedom of speech and expression. The second is freedom of worship, to worship wherever you want and how you want. The third is freedom from want. Now, that's the poster that we had up on our flyer this week. And that was one of the Norman Rockwell photograph of a Thanksgiving dinner. And finally is a freedom from fear. And really, I think psychologically and philosophically, this is what we try to do here in America, is we want everyone to enjoy the freedoms that we have. We are so fortunate here in America to be able to say what we want, worship where we want, find the food that we need, or somebody will help us with that. And finally, is a freedom from fear. We can pretty much do whatever we want, and we don't have to worry about somebody kicking in the door and coming to get us.
And who protects those freedoms?
Our troops right now, but that's also right. It's our support as civilians that are supporting these troops. And that's the thing that we talk about, especially today around Thanksgiving. We want you to remember those men and women that are around the world trying to protect our freedoms in addition to offering these freedoms to other countries. Now, whether they want them or not, that's up to them. But at least they should have the opportunity to try.
You can support troops from anything from sending cards for Christmas. And I'll remind people about little Destiny Edie that we've had on the program before. She started when she was 10 years old. She's now 14. She has sent 40,000 cards to the troops. She raises the money for postage for the cards, sits at public events with a booth, gets people to sign them, and sends them off. 40,000, can you imagine?
I know. Well, Thanksgiving is a lot of time where we do appreciate what we have, and many, many of you out there I know have shared over the last couple of days with your own bounty. Got another caller on the phone. I want to bring him on, and this is from Saline, Michigan, and I've got Ralph Winter on the phone. Ralph, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning, Dale and Gary.
How are you doing?
Good morning, Ralph.
Good. I'm doing well. I thought I'd mention my Thanksgiving in Vietnam because actually it was very memorable because, it was a very good occasion. I was an Army grunt with Charlie Company of the 3rd Battalion, 1st Infantry, 11th Brigade in the AmeriCal Division. So we were based off of Fire Base 411 near Quang Nai. And I remember on Thanksgiving, we really didn't, I don't think we were told ahead of time, but we were kind of pulled back from any regular mission, and our company was camped not too far from the fire base rather than actually going out on a search and destroy or any other activity at that time. And the big surprise was choppers came in, the supply choppers came in, and we got a really fancy Thanksgiving dinner. We got turkey, and we got the one thing that I truly remember about it was that we got real potatoes. when we were on the fire base, we'd have, you know, meals on the fire base at the mess hall, but it was always instant potatoes. And mm-hmm. The food was really pretty bad there, truthfully. I think the sea rats and MREs were better at times. But I remember Thanksgiving, we really got a great meal, and you know, turkey, real potatoes, and some of the other fixings. So it was a pretty big surprise when that came out. So we really ate well, and really had a great day. And fortunately, we didn't have any interference from Charlie or anybody else that day. So so from that standpoint, and this was I don't think I said this was 1970. So
okay, I was just going to ask that question, Ralph. Well, thank you so very much for calling into Veterans Radio.
Hey, real quick, Ralph. Yeah. Do you remember what those containers were called that the food was brought out? Dale and I were talking about it at breakfast this morning, and neither one of us could remember the containers.
I can picture them, but I don't remember what they were called. Okay.
There's a quiz out there. Give us a call.
They were these big insulated containers, you know, and they were the Army good old drab green, you know, the typical.
Right, yep.
Yeah.
Don't remember.
Well, thank you very much, Ralph, for calling into Veterans Radio. We greatly appreciate that. And we want to hear from you out there. If you've got a story, if you can remember the name of those containers, that's 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. We've got a couple of minutes till we come up to the bottom of the hour. And I wanted to, as Ralph pointed out, the helicopters, that would be me, just one of many.
Oh, you didn't do them all on your own?
I didn't do them all, but I was a short-timer. At Thanksgiving, and by short timer, I mean, I think I had about 10 days left to go in my tour, and I was pretty much hunkered down in the bunker by then. And my company commander came in and said, Dale, we need you to fly a mission. We're going to take Thanksgiving dinner out to the troops in the field. And I'm going, well, as long as I don't have to fly, you know, more than 10 miles outside of the radius of Long Beach, I'll be fine. He says, no, this is what you're going to do. So I checked it out, and we did go out all over Three Corps dropping off food in those big containers, and I can't remember the name of them, but I can see them just as vividly as Ralph probably can. And we dropped them off, and we gave hot meals to our troops in the field. And we had, as he pointed out, real potatoes instead of those reconstituted things that they tried to pass off as potatoes. And I think I flew about 10 hours on Thanksgiving Day.
As a CB, I could never complain about the food we got after we got past the sea rats because we burned a lot of calories, and you keep the CBs and a lot of food and a lot of beer, and they'll work.
Well, that's true. You know, if you do provide food, and I can't complain about my food compared to people like Michael J. Martin and so forth that were out in the field, and probably Ralph also, who was out in the field all the time living on sea rations. The only sea rations I usually have, that would be lunch. And so I was very fortunate with the type of food. In fact, we used to go, I'll bet you, the best food that we found in Vietnam was Navy food, and they I don't know what it is, and they had tablecloths and real plates. And,
no, you're thinking of the Air Force. Come on.
I don't remember who exactly it was, but it was certainly, I know the Navy had these great foods, especially when we got into the officers' clubs, which was pretty cool.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about my Thanksgiving over there.
Okay. And we've got another caller on the line, who we'll be talking to in a, as soon as we get, go around the bottom of the hour with our Medal of Honor. Give us a call. Tell us what happened on your Thanksgivings during your time in the service. That number is 877-573-7825. You're listening to Veterans Radio, coming to you live from the studios of WDEO in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. We'll be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Platoon Sergeant Finnis McCleary continued his assault on the North Vietnamese position, although severely wounded. Details after this.
College isn't cheap. In fact, it can be downright expensive. But the Air Force has a way for you to get that college education. If you attend classes while on active duty, we'll pay up to 100% of your tuition. And you could have more than $35,000 for school waiting for you through the GI Bill. For more information, call 1-800-423-USAF or log on to airforce.com. This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force and this station.
A combined force was assigned the mission of assaulting a reinforced company of well-entrenched North Vietnamese Army regulars. As McCleary led his men up the hill and across an open area to close with the enemy, his platoon and other friendly elements were pinned down by heavy fire coming from the fortified enemy positions. Realizing the severe damage that the enemy could inflict on the combined force, McCleary rose from his sheltered position and began a one-man assault on the bunker complex. He moved across 60 meters of open ground as bullets struck all around him and rockets and grenades literally exploded at his feet. As he came within 30 meters of the key enemy bunker, McCleary began firing furiously from the hip and throwing hand grenades. At this point in his assault, shrapnel painfully wounded him, but with complete disregard for his wounds, he continued his advance on the key bunker and killed all of its occupants. Having successfully and single-handedly breaching the enemy perimeter, he climbed to the top of the bunker he had just captured, and in full view of the enemy, shouted encouragement to his men to follow his assault. As the friendly forces moved forward, McCleary began a lateral assault on the enemy bunker line. He continued to expose himself to the intense enemy fire as he moved from bunker to bunker, destroying each in turn. He was wounded a second time by shrapnel as he destroyed and routed the enemy from the hill. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
We're back on Veterans Radio, and that is our good friend Kate Smith. well, you know, wouldn't it have been great to have her on live at some point? I was always that song always brings tears to my eyes, and I can remember singing that as a kid during Thanksgiving, in the lead up to Thanksgiving. It seems that we would always sing these patriotic songs.
Wasn't the Philadelphia Flyers hockey team would have her there at every home game to sing that?
I think she was probably their good luck charm.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. They sing that song quite often now at baseball games during the seventh inning instead of, well, they do still sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, but right. as a tribute. And it's always a very powerful song. We're talking about Thanksgiving and what we're thankful for and what, you know, how Thanksgiving arrived wherever we happen to be in the service around the world during our time when we were in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, and everything else I can think of as far as the service is concerned. And we've asked you to call in. We're still asking you to call in at 877-573-7825. And we do have another caller on the line. That's Tom Podsel. Is that
right? Podsel.
Podsel. Well, Gary knows who it is. Tom, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning, and I'm going to send you guys over some turkey in a Mermite food container.
Mermite! All right, he wins the prize. We've got to get him a shirt.
All right. Thank you.
How is everything?
Everything's great, Tom. How about with you and your family?
Good. I had a good Thanksgiving dinner. It's a little cold here in Chicago, but I guess you guys got the same weather.
Well, I just came back from Chicago last night. It was cold and it was windy. It was living up to its name.
Yes, it was. And I put up my outdoor Christmas decorations yesterday morning, so I was freezing.
Well, you guys did send the weather on to us because I came back by train last night, and there was no difference. It was here the same as it was there.
Yeah, we're always glad to send the cold weather to you guys.
So thankful for you. Hey, you were on the two programs we had on the Battle of Nui Yan Hill, and you wrote a book, Tam Key, The Battle of Nui Yan Hill?
Yes, I have.
And it can be bought on Amazon and other places online?
Yes, thank you, Gary.
And at bookstores. Great book. I read it in one sitting, getting ready for the program, and boy, was that a vicious battle. So that leads up to what have you got to be thankful for, and how was your Thanksgiving over there in Vietnam?
I spent three Thanksgivings in the military overseas, one in Vietnam and two in Germany. And the one in Vietnam, I don't recall very well. I know I was on LZ Center with 81 mortars at that time. And I do recall getting the hot turkey dinner. And your caller before had mentioned that it was one of the better meals we ever got out, you know, in Vietnam was that Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner also.
That's very true. I can remember it was delicious.
I was not there for Christmas, thankfully, but I was saying I want to tell you about my Thanksgiving. I don't remember it. I'm sure we got a turkey dinner, but I don't. It was I know it was another 12-hour workday, and I'm sure we got turkey. That's all I can remember about it. Tom, LZ Center, I've seen photographs of it. That's about as barren of a hill, except it was pretty steep, and so there wasn't a lot of top to it for you guys to fit on.
Yeah, yes. One end was very steep, and the eastern end was a very long slope that we had to walk up as infantry companies when we had to pull bunker guard on center. But the other three sides were, it was very steep.
Thanksgiving was pretty much in the middle of the monsoons or near the beginning of the monsoons. Do you remember that Thanksgiving?
Yeah, actually, I just got if you remember, I've been in contact with the grandson of an NVA soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got an email from him today, and he told me they're in the middle of the monsoons right now.
Oh, really?
he's actually in Vietnam now, taking a short break from his studies in Japan, and he's spending it with his family. And he said he wanted to go to Tam Key, but it's been raining too hard, and they can't travel.
Well, I was at Tam Key when I went back in early March of 2008. And there's pretty flat ground around there. I can imagine the monsoons would cut it off quite a bit. You guys up on LZ Center, you had pretty deep mud despite the fact that you were up there quite high.
Oh, yeah. Vietnam was all mud during the rainy season.
That's right. I was just thinking it was the time of all those pallets all laid in a row going to the various parts of whatever base you happen to be on, because if you stepped off of that, you sunk up to your knees or your chest.
And I'll tell you what I'm thankful for is that I'm not walking around in the mud of Vietnam anymore. My feet are in fairly good shape by now.
Yes. You know, one thing I would like to mention, though, that I do recall about my Thanksgivings in Germany, and I was with a border patrol unit, the 3rd Squadron, 14th Armored Cav. And the one thing I remember about all holidays and Sundays, it was the day you got to sleep in late.
Oh.
Maybe what we remember as being so important. So memorable.
Yeah.
I was thinking
about
that just a minute ago.
We
had Easter Sunday off. That's the day that we had off, and we got to sleep in, and it was heaven. It was instead of dark 30.
Well, I was very fortunate. You know, one of the things about being a pilot in many cases is that they would restrict us to the number of hours we could fly in any 30-day period. And so once you hit that number, and I think it was 120 hours or something of actual flight time, you had to stay down until that number went below 120. And so that means sometimes you could sleep in, but then they'd come back in the afternoon and they'd say, okay, now you're below 120, get out there and go again. And so I do remember that. And I do remember the Thanksgiving only because of the delivery of the food.
I'm sure guys like Tom appreciate you.
Well, that was our job, to bring out the food, bring out the bullets. Whatever they needed, we would do it.
And you guys did a mighty fine job. I have to say you did. We appreciated it.
Hey, Tom, how's your squad mate doing? Have you talked to him lately? Who was on with you on Battle of
Tacoma?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, Ron is doing fine.
Good deal.
Yeah, he lives there in Michigan, and they had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner, he and his family.
Oh, that's good. You guys stayed in pretty good touch with each other.
Yes, we do.
From
Ron has become a very good friend.
I admire the grunts. Well, thanks a lot for calling in, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Greatly appreciate it. I wanted to read a menu that I got in the an email from somebody from the, better look at this up and make sure I've got it right, 15th Field Artillery Regiment. That was in Thanksgiving 1965, the 2nd or the 32nd Artie. Boy, you know, I still can't remember the names of all these things and what they all mean. But anyway, we've got a Thanksgiving Day sign poster that we're putting up on our webcast. But the menu included, and this is really important, the menu included shrimp cocktail, crackers, roast turkey, cornbread dressing, giblet gravy, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, real, candied sweet potatoes, buttered peas, assorted crisp relishes, hot butter buns, butter, fruitcake, mincemeat pie, pumpkin pie with whipped cream, assorted fresh fruit, assorted nuts, assorted candy, tea, milk, and coffee.
Where was that?
This was Thanksgiving with LZ Diamondhead, it looks like.
Vietnam.
In Vietnam. This is what they served.
What year?
I don't know. One of these says 65, one of them says 67. So, and there's a notice here, a little note here from W.C. Westmoreland, General United States Army Commanding. This Thanksgiving Day, we find ourselves in a foreign land assisting in the defense of the rights of free men everywhere. On this day, we should offer our grateful thanks for the abundant life which we and our loved ones have been provided. May we each pray for his continued blessings and guidance upon our endeavors to assist the Vietnamese people in their struggle to attain an everlasting peace within a free society. So there you go.
The messages from the leadership, you know, that meant a lot, although at the time you tried to.
You know, at the time we didn't really pay attention because we figured they were the ones. It's like me being mad at LBJ and at Nixon because I figured I got drafted by Johnson and got sent to Vietnam by Nixon. So at that time, I didn't like either one of them.
Are you starting to get over it?
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. We've got another caller on the line right now. We've got Keith from Detroit. Keith, welcome to Veterans Radio. Hello, Keith.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
How
are
you doing?
Pretty good. How are you, Gary?
I'm good. How are you, Keith?
Well, I'm alive and well. So, all things considered, I figured I would share a Thanksgiving story with you guys.
Please do.
I actually left Vietnam on Thanksgiving Day. And not only was I extremely thankful for that, but the fact is with the date change and time change, I actually landed back here in the States on Thanksgiving Day. So when you look at it in that way, I was doubly thankful.
I guess so.
And both of my children and now my grandchildren hear the stories and are taught, if you will, the value or the purpose of Thanksgiving and of giving things. And they even recognize that, you know, I have a lot to be thankful for.
Truly do. What did you do over in Vietnam, Keith?
I was military police convoy escort.
Okay. I wanted you to say that because anybody that hears MP, they picture a couple of guys out there ready to arrest anybody that walks around with their hands in their pockets. But you guys had some pretty dangerous duty in Vietnam.
I was a gunner. I worked an M60 machine gun, open gun jeep. I usually ran lead of convoys. We ran what we called Class A Priority 1, which was fuel, rocket, mortar, ammunition. I was up in the Central Highlands and ran anywhere from Thu Hoa in the north to Phan Thiet in the south. So we covered a whole lot of ground and, ran into a lot of situations that were less than pleasant.
I can imagine that was a pretty active part of the country, and having a whole bunch of stuff behind you that could blow up. I imagine only people that felt worse about that were the people driving the trucks.
Well, yeah, it's one of those situations, Gary, where, you know, you learn that as the lead, if they could, disable you and or usually I had a gun truck behind me, but if they could get one of us, the first two in the convoy.
Yep.
the idea then was is they could stop all of us. So
yep.
it became a cat and mouse type of game where, you know, as long as we could keep running, you know, we did our best to avoid a situation that, you know, we didn't want to get ourselves into.
We got a break.
I got to take a break. Keith, thank you so very much for calling into Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after this message.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Military veterans touch everyone's life. I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. We can all help someone going through a difficult time. Learn how you can be there for veterans. Visit VeteransCrisisLine.net. VeteransCrisisLine.net. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Another famous Thanksgiving song, thanks to Arlo Guthrie, and from the 1960s. We're talking about Thanksgiving and what we're thankful for, and we're asking people to give us a call here at Veterans Radio at 877-573-7825. Thanksgiving, over there. Where were you? How did Thanksgiving affect you, or did you actually get a meal, or what happened during Thanksgiving during your time of duty? And we've got a caller on the phone. We've got Roger from Livonia, Michigan. Roger, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Oh, thank you very much, Don. Nice having you.
Nice having
one of my first times, you put a plea out from our. I'm a member of the VVA in Plymouth, and you asked for some help. So, you know, it's a good weekend, and it's a nice time to remember some of the old things and good things that we've had.
That's true, Roger. So tell us, where were you serving Thanksgiving?
Fortunately enough, I was serving stateside at the Hill Air Force Base, Ogden, Utah, which was the logistics base, which were all the F-16s and 15s were coming in. They were all tore up, and they were rebuilding them. So I've seen a lot of planes that looked like they should have never flown, but a lot of guys that put their lives on the line for us. So, you know, one of the things that I was fortunate enough, I was responsible for the linens for the base. You know, so all the whites for the cooks and the linens for base billeting and all the clothes that the guys had on base. And what I was fortunate enough, I was already married and lived off of base, but a lot of the guys didn't. And you could see there's a lot of sadness around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So I got together with the cooks and senior master sergeant and says, hey, you know, look, I'll supply the turkeys, you supply the rest. Would you do that for me? They said they sure would. So what we did is we sent an invitation out to all the airmen. And there was even some sergeants and so forth that were pretty well strapped financially and say, hey, look, the party's at my place at, you know, off base here at the trailer park. You bring a can, and that's all you need to do of food, you know, of a vegetable, and I'll supply the rest. And we did.
Wow, that's a great story.
Out of your own pocket?
Out of my own pocket. Well, fortunately, again, like I said, I was married. My wife worked for Mountain Bell, so I had a full-time job for the base exchange as well. So I was financially in a lot better straits than a lot of the other guys were. So
that's a great story.
So we supplied a lot of food, and we got through with this food. It looked like it was something that came out of the Bible, you know. It just seemed to
multiply and multiply. Huh?
It absolutely
the
did.
Fishes.
So everybody had a chance to take something home with them, especially those that were married and had some kids.
How many people showed up, do you suppose?
We had 30 people in my 10-by-50 mobile home. Talk about being crammed, but everywhere there was a seat, everywhere there's a space on the floor, there was a seat.
Wow, that's terrific, Roger. When did you do this? What years?
We did this in 1968 and 69.
Well, we certainly thank you very much for doing that. That's a great story. And
it still comes to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I miss a lot of those old guys, but, you know, I still remember those guys that were really hurting, that just came back from Nam and were stateside and didn't have anything, you know.
Now, the pay was pretty low in those days, even for those days.
Well, you know, you were on poverty level if you had a kid or two.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys came back with their wives, and one of them out of Texas, she's pregnant, and he didn't, I don't know where I'm going to stay, and whatever. We had an extra bedroom in our house, and it turned out after the guy came out, and him and his wife used our spare bedroom for a month or two until they found themselves a place. An old high school friend popped up, and here he worked on the base commander's plane. So there was a lot of history that went on with me over there in Utah.
And it sounds like you were one of those people that took care of your friends and showed the spirit of those in the military together, everybody helping each other.
That's what it was all about.
That's true.
Still is.
It is. We always say, you know, we had your back then, we've got your back now.
Hurrah.
All right. Thank you very much, Roger.
You're welcome,
Dan.
Thank you for it.
We appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That was a great story.
That was. You know, and I think that one of the things that points out is how many people are involved in the military. Not everybody's out there on the front lines.
Right.
I can't remember what the ratio was, but it was something along the lines of 9 to 10 people were behind each soldier or whoever was out in the front to support them. Can you imagine just even supplying all of these things?
I came to appreciate supply over in Vietnam. It never ceased to amaze me that what you needed always showed up, just-in-time delivery.
I know. In fact, last week on our program, we were talking with, I don't want to mess up her name, General Halstead, I think it was, Becky, and she was responsible for supply in Iraq for 25,000 soldiers. And how did you always get those things there? I mean, in our case, it was always parts. You know, how do you get these parts for these helicopters that either broke or got shot away or we bent?
And another thing that he talked about was those planes coming back that shouldn't have been able to fly. It really hits you, even if you're not out there in the front, when you see stuff like that. To this day, it haunts me about the hospital ship. When you'd wake up offshore was the white hospital ship. And, oh, my, some guys are going to get it today. There's an operation going on.
Right.
And, boy.
I always wondered about that with Navy and Marines, that you had this, you know, a hospital ship that was off of the shore. You could see it.
Right.
And even in World War II, we've seen pictures of Iwo Jima and Okinawa and places like that, where there was a hospital ship offshore to take those wounded the first opportunity to get fixed up or, you know.
In those days, it would be the landing craft taking them out.
And
in our days, it was the helicopters.
Right,
yeah. And it was all day long. Huey helicopters flying low and fast, heading for that hospital ship. Land down there for just a few seconds or whatever, back up again, and another one would be coming in.
Well, we certainly have a lot to be thankful for here in America, and we really do appreciate everything that the military does to protect our freedoms and our lifestyle. I mean, we can't imagine what it would be like with people telling us what to do, that we couldn't worship the way that we want to, that we couldn't say or express the way that we want to, or we couldn't help each other out. We're not dependent on the government, and we're never going to be dependent on the government, because we want to make sure that we take care of each other. I think that's the best way to do it. And I'm grateful that we got an opportunity to talk about this today on Veterans Radio, to talk about Thanksgiving and the opportunities that our service in the military afforded us, and talking with people like Tom from Sears,
right,
who is only one of thousands of organizations out there that could use your support at this time of year. You've got Thanksgiving just passed, and you've got Christmas coming up. There's a lot of things going on out there where you can help. If you want to help a veteran or somebody on active duty, there's plenty of opportunity to do that.
And also, if you want to help anybody, you always see those food boxes in the stores. Buy a couple of extra items. And I heard from one person that ran one of those programs is, don't buy a can of beans and a can of peas. Buy a big can of whatever it is, because that's what it takes to feed a family, and it works better. Just a little hint there.
Another hint to help each other out. We've got a couple of programs coming up in the next couple of weeks that we're really excited about. I know that Gary has a Medal of Honor recipient that he's hoping to talk to.
The one that just received the Medal of Honor, the only living one to receive it from Iraq, Afghanistan. President Obama presented it to him a few weeks back. He'll be on our program December 13th, I'm promised.
You are promised. Well, that's great. We also got an email from someone who has put together a 13 CD collection of all of the music of Vietnam, 300 hours of it. Oh. And he's contacted us, so we may be having a, radio free Vietnam program coming up where we'll be having DJs, old DJs from Armed Forces Radio on.
That would be
and,
fun.
And listening to some of those songs. So we want to make sure that you keep listening to Veterans Radio and let us know what stories you would like us to tell. Let us know who you would like us to talk about on Veterans Radio, because that's our purpose here, is to tell your stories. If we don't tell your stories or you don't tell your stories, they're going to disappear. And if they disappear, that's a sad state of affairs, because no one will appreciate what you did during whatever time period that you were in the service, whether you were, as Bob was during the Cold War. Everybody thinks, oh, a Cold War. Well, what did they do? You know, they're on alert probably more more than any of us realized.
What was the name of that Passover in Germany that they knew the
Soviets, where the Russians were going to come through with their tanks? Yeah. I can't.
Volga Pass?
I think that was it. Because right. I had our good friend Ray Schrader from our friend in Point Pleasant, another helicopter pilot. That was his job, to fly up and down the border of East and West Germany to make sure that they weren't coming over. And, you know, we may think that we exaggerate some of these things, but there's always the threat out there, and it have to be ever vigilant. You know, we hate to
as
have
with
to,
the Cuban Missile Crisis, right. Sometimes that threat is greater than we even realize.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's better to be prepared than not be prepared.
Absolutely.
And, we'd hate to be – we almost got caught with our knickers down during World War II, so we want to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. Gary, thank you so very much. Matt, Eric, great job in there with the videos and the pictures. It's an honor to have you on our program today. Until next week on Veterans Radio, you are dismissed.